Hello, and welcome back to Pack Tactics, a homebrew 5th edition Dungeons & Dragons campaign setting. My name is Crash, I will be your DM for the evening, and I made a horrible, horrible emote this week.
You're welcome.
With me today are three awesome people. We have Ellie, we have Cindy, and we have the person for whom I made the horrible emote for his Twitch channel, hashtag don't burn the tree.
Hashtag burn the tree.
Chris. So, where we left off last time, splitting the party is usually the best thing to do. And when the party is split, splitting it again is usually also a good idea. And this is kind of what has occurred. Initially, Zili and Daldane stayed behind in the Temple of Bahamut because their interrogation skills were perhaps a bit better than the rest of the party, them being classes that are charisma-based. It makes sense. And everyone else came home and spent the night at Fennec Senior's estate. During the night, Marwise had a dream that kind of sort of hinted that an ancestor, perhaps, of Fennec Senior's had actually come home when all the tales said he had not, and that he had died in the backyard in the apple orchard. So Fennec Senior grabbed a shovel, and there was much digging. And there was a bit of a cave that was discovered in such a way that led to some strategic blunders, shall we say. A certain kobold monk's familiar ended up, kobold monk slash arcane trickster, so that's why he has a familiar, ended up basically just being destroyed when it was teleported into a solid object. So Sox went upstairs to resummon his familiar. Because, you know, why not split the party more? And we end the session with Marwise and Fennec Sr. at the bottom of a hole in the dark with a whispery, gravelly voice going, "Interlopers!" And we ended the session right there. So, this makes perfect sense to, at this point, say, let's not take it up right where we left off. Daldane.
Yes?
You had a very long day yesterday. The one dragonborn guard that you did not kill as a party, that you would capture for interrogation, has not been very forthcoming in answers. Let's say that there were a lot of intimidation and or persuasion and or zone of truth and or the insert name of investigation type skills used. And there wasn't a whole lot that was gained. You have the basic understanding that they were not, in fact, a dragonborn anymore. They were radiating more of a fiendish aura, which was weird and disturbing. And because of the long day, you had spent the night at the temple. They did have everything that you needed to do that. They even had a spare toothbrush for you if you needed it.
That was nice of them.
I'm sorry?
That was nice of them.
Oh, yeah. Well, you know, there's a lot of dragonborn that have a breath weapon that's acid-based. You got to take care of your teeth or they're just going to dissolve right out of your mouth. But in any case, in the morning, Zili suggests that she stay behind because there's more of this that she's concerned about. But suggests that you go back to the estate to let everyone know that the two of you are fine and everything and that progress is kind of sort of maybe being made, but not really.
Okay, great.
All right. So I'm going to say that your walk is pretty much uneventful. This takes place around the same time that the rest of the party was having breakfast for continuity issues. And you arrive, you're going to arrive at the estate right around the same time that you hear what sounds like a collapsing tunnel. As a kobold, you are very much aware of what a collapsing tunnel sounds like.
Yes.
Okay. Now, at this point, we are going to move to Marwise. Marwise, you're at the bottom of the hole. Continuity speaking, you have cast light on a small rock so that Fennec Sr. can see. The area is still pretty dark. Anywhere beyond 30 feet, even you can't see, which implies that there's some type of magical darkness beyond 30 feet from where you are. And you know you're not alone down there. What would you like to do?
Oh, boy. So the tunnel goes in both directions, right?
There's It doesn't seem to be a tunnel. It appears to be some type of chamber. It goes in every direction. You're in the middle of it.
Well, I'm probably going to be sticking close to Fenix because I definitely don't want to go too far. I think I'll also cast Guardian of Faith because I'm getting the impression whatever else is in here isn't friendly and I want something watching my back even if I can't.
That sounds like a good plan. And I'm looking at Fenix Senior's character sheet, but when I make the window half size, it changes where the spells are. Hold on a second. Fenix Senior, while you're casting Guardian of Faith, is going to also cast a spell. And I know the spell I want him to cast, I just have to find it on this list here. He casts Revivify. No, he doesn't.
Making sure it's the next day I've had a long rest.
Yes, you have.
Okay.
You're absolutely right. The thing that's annoying me is I looked this spell up specifically because I knew he was going to lead with this. And now I don't see it on his character sheet. Oh, there we go. He's going to cast Shield of Faith on you. So Shimmering Field appears and surrounds Marwise and grants you a +2 to your armor class for the duration of the spell.
Nice. Thank you, Fenix.
Don't thank me yet. We're probably going to need that. You might not be surprised by this, but we do seem to be surrounded by the undead.
Yeah, that was the impression I got, too.
No, it's not an impression. Remember, he's got divine sense. He can detect undead.
Okay.
And at this point, everyone roll for initiative.
21 for Daldane.
19 11. For Salk.
And
wait, I'm going.
What was Marwise?
Marwise got an 11.
Yeah, sure. I rolled really poorly.
This may be the one time in the entire campaign that someone has gone before Sox in the initiative.
In fairness, I rolled a 14. I only have a +5.
Only has a +5 to his initiative rolls. I love this game so much. All right. So, Daldane, you're first up. What do you want to do?
Run around to see what the source of the collapsing tunnel noise was.
Okay. It was, I think this applies for Kobold specifically as a survival check.
24.
All right, so you are very much aware that it didn't happen in or under the house, it happened behind the house. So you, with your, if you double move, you can get all the way around the house. That's faster than trying to go through it.
Okay, I'll do that.
Unless you are driving a pickup truck in Tornado Alley. In that case, going through the house is faster, if I can reference old movies.
Well, no, I'll leave knocking the house down to Sock.
And Zeely's not here to burn the house down. But in any case, actually, Zeely is against burning the house down. Sox was the main one that was for it.
Accurate.
Yeah. When the fire-based sorcerer is against burning things down, but you are able to get all the way around the house, you do see what appears to be a hole that's been dug near some of the trees. There's a pile of dirt next to it, but you're pretty sure that the sound came from that general area. You are not able to get close enough at this point to see down the hole.
Okay.
All right, so that was your turn. Sox, you also heard the tunnel collapse. You have not gotten very far into casting Find Familiar.
I stop casting Find Familiar and run back.
Okay.
Now, sorry, hold on. I click my boots as a bonus action and run back.
Okay. You see a hole in the ground, but you already knew the hole was there.
But I see a bigger hole that they've fallen in.
Yes.
This is why we can't have nice things.
I think you might be a bit more accurate than usual.
I'm just checking to see if it's an action to use my... It is an action. I use my action to activate my wings, and I'll roll a d12 to see when I get them. So I have them for an hour, then I can't use them for 9 hours after.
Okay. So...
And I fly down.
Okay, and I will tell you that you ran past Gox on your way to the cave-in, and you saw Daldane approaching as well. So you know the backup is there. All right. So what's going to happen next is three dragonborn skeletons and something wearing a shroud over its body. You can't make out a lot of details. Approach out of the darkness towards you. And they get to make attacks. That's going to be a miss no matter who they're aiming for.
If they get within 10 feet of the Guardian of Faith, that Guardian of Faith gets to make an attack on them.
Does it get to make an attack, or does it just like do damage if they fail a save or something?
Yeah, it just does damage, and if they fail a save, then it only does half damage.
I thought so. Okay. So these particular things... Yeah. So that first one misses. The second one is going to go for Fennec Sr. That's a nat 1. The third one is going to go for Marwise. That is a dirty 20.
Okay, with the bonus, my armor class is exactly 20.
And ties go to the attacker, unfortunately. Chris, I saw your question. I'm going to not answer that right now.
Okay.
But I wanted to acknowledge that I saw it. All right, so this dragonborn that runs towards you, it does actually charge you for this attack. And it is going to hit you for... Ouch.
Oh, no.
That's not good. So, first of all, it headbutts you with this attack, and that does 13 points of damage.
Okay.
But because it was charging you, it does an additional 9 points of damage, and I need you to make a strength saving throw.
Ouch.
Cleric down.
Got a 12 on that saving throw.
That is not, unfortunately, high enough. So you are knocked 10 feet backwards, and you are prone. There is now a dragonborn skeleton standing where you were standing. And at this point, I think you're out of the range of... Oh, wait, hold on. No, you don't fail the save. Because you were standing next to Fennec Sr. He's a high-level paladin. You get plus 5 to your saves.
Oh, sweet.
Yes, so you make your save. You don't get paladin. Knocked prone, but you've had better days. And now it's the Shrouded Figure's turn. It's going to use a nasty little ability. But who's it going to use it on? That's the question. Oh, Marwise. I did roll specifically to see who of the three people down there it would attack. I'm not just targeting you. It is going to gaze at you. So you need to make a constitution saving throw. And we wait patiently for Sidekick to acknowledge the roll. Any day now, Sidekick. You can do it.
Do it again.
There we go.
Hey!
Nat 20.
Natural 20.
All right, so you're going to take half damage. You take 11 points of necrotic damage from this thing looking at you.
Okay, so Marwise has had better days.
Okay. Now, with that said, these three dragonborn skeletons all need to make saving throws, correct? Because they all step within range of the Guardian of Faith.
Yes, they need to make dexterity saving throws of 15.
And they don't have a paladin to help them out.
They take 20 damage if they fail the save and 10 if they succeed.
Okay, well, that's a nat 20 and two very much nat 20s. Well, very much not nat 20s, I mean. So 10 if they make the save, you said?
Yeah, 10 if they make the save, 20 if they fail it.
All right, that is noted. And that is all their turns. So now we're up to Fennec Sr. Welcome to Pack Tactics, where the DM is playing all the characters for a very long period of time. He is going to make two attacks. He's going to go after the ones that seem to have been damaged more by the Guardian of Faith. And let's just say I'm very glad he gets a plus 8 on his two hit rolls. Those are two hits. And he is doing radiant damage with each attack because he has improved smite. Improved divine smite, rather. So he's feeling really good about himself right now. He usually doesn't get to do damage. All right, we're up to Marwise.
Okay, trying to decide if I should turn or heal. I think I'll go with heal this time, so... I'll cast Cure Wounds on myself as a third level spell. And with my life demand, I get a few bonuses. All right. So I'm back up to 50. And I can cast Spiritual Weapon as a bonus action, so I'm going to go ahead and do that. So I manifest Spiritual Weapon and have it attack the Dragonborn skeleton that's taken the most damage.
Okay.
So that's a dirty 20 on the attack roll.
That's going to hit.
And 6 damage.
Okie doke.
And I believe that's all I can do this turn.
Still not bad. Okay, start of the next turn. Doldane, you're up. You are the only one who's actually present in this Discord chat that is still at the top of the hole.
What do I see at the bottom of the hole? And how far down is the bottom of the hole?
The bottom of the hole from where you are is about 20 feet.
Okay. And what can I see from here?
You see Fennec Sr., Marwise, Sox, and what appear to be the skeletal remains of 3 Dragonborn that are doing a combination of giving and receiving beatdowns.
Okay. Remind me, what are the rules for falling damage?
1d6 per every 10 feet. If you climbed well, you could probably climb down the whole 10 feet, but the remaining 10 feet, it's a straight drop. Although, in theory, you might only fall 4 feet if you climbed down as far as you could go, because the Dragonborn skeletons are 6 feet tall.
And here, I thought the idea was to try to land on Fennec.
Well, that's what you did, but you didn't have skeletons to ride. How is your animal handling, Daldane?
+3.
Worth the attempt, perhaps.
All right, I would need to look something up, so to keep the game moving, I'm going to let Sox go.
Okay. Sox.
Hello.
There are 3 annoyingly powerful Dragonborn skeletons and 1 creepy thing looking at you.
Okay. Where is Fennec Sr. in regards to the enemy position?
He is right up in their faces, with the exception of the creepy thing. Oh, speaking of the creepy thing, it's the start of your turn, and it's within 30 feet of you. Give me a constitution saving throw.
Oh, no. Okay. Natural 1?
Whoa. You are reduced to 0 hit points because you failed your save by 5 or more.
I'm unconscious?
You are reduced to 0 hit points, yeah.
Okay. It's a good thing I just made that backup, isn't it?
Wow. So that's the thing that just happened. Doldane, would you like to insert yourself into the turn right now?
So what did I just see happen?
You just saw Sox fall flat on his face.
Like he just fell over?
Yeah.
Well, that's not fantastic.
No, it's not.
I feel like that escalated.
Just slightly.
This is not an encounter I made for level 1 characters. I made this encounter for characters that were high level like yours.
No, I know, I get that, but wow, that escalated.
Well, this ability that just got used, the word death is in the ability's name.
Oh, I know what you're used. Son of a...
Well, it looks like I don't have time to be clever anymore. I'm just going to jump down.
Okay. Do you try to climb down as far as you can first, or just jump straight down?
No, I'll just jump straight down.
Okay, give me a dex save.
16.
Okay. I'm going to say that not only are you going to take half damage from the fall, I am going to say that you land on one of the skeletons and do a small amount of damage to it at the same time.
Neat.
So you are going to take 4 points of falling damage.
Okay. And when I hit the ground, I'm going to cure mass cure wound.
Does that spell have a casting time of 1 action?
Yeah.
Okay. I keep remembering there's a spell that has like a 10-minute cast time and has mass.
Yeah. That's just mass heal, I believe.
Okay. So how many hit points are you healing for?
3d8 plus 2. 18 to everybody in the party.
18 or 19 to do?
18.
I'm awake!
And the good news is you did not start your turn within 10, within 30 feet of this thing, so you don't have to make any saves this time. Is there anything else you'd like to do?
I'm going to give Marwise Bardic Inspiration.
Probably a good idea. All right. Now it is their turns.
Oh, I retract the question I put earlier. I don't want to be responsible for killing Jen's character.
Probably for the best. I am going to roll an intimidation check on for Fenix Sr. Nope. He is not being enough of an awesome sauce paladin to attract the attention of the skeletons and have them hit him instead of everyone else. So skeleton one, it is going to go for Fenix. That is a miss. Skeleton two is going to go for Daldane. That is, what's its plus? That is a 10. That's a miss. Skeleton three, it's also going to go for Daldane. That is a 15.
That'll hit.
Okay. That is going to do 6 points of slashing damage.
Oh, okay.
No, I'm sorry. I read this wrong. That's plus to hit. That's 17 points of slashing damage. I am so sorry.
Okay.
And now this creepy thing in the back is going to look at somebody. Who does it look at? So, fun fact, it's looking at Marwise again. Give me another saving throw. And remember, you can add 5 to it. Constitution saving throw.
Don't roll a natural 1.
No, this is a different ability. 22. Yeah. You're going to take another 11 points of necrotic damage.
All right, that's survivable.
Yep, you saved for half. All right. That's what they had to do. So next up is going to be Fenix Sr. Marwise, on an arbitrary scale that you can give me the numbers for, how healthy are you looking?
Well, I was at full health before that last attack, so I'm at 52 out of 63.
Okay. So Fenix Sr. doesn't see that anyone is... Actually, no. He sees that Sox is significantly damaged.
I was unconscious.
Yeah. What's your max hit points usually, Sox?
86.
86. Okay. Fenix Sr. is going to... Oh, wow. This doesn't let me type in numbers. I have to click individually. He's going to lay on hands for you for 30 points.
Okay.
And apparently he can use Channel Divinity as a bonus action.
Yeah. Depends on what he can do. Depends on what it's...
Yeah, it depends because Channel Divinity doesn't say anything about bonus actions, but what he can use Channel Divinity for, he can use that as a bonus action. He is going to use that to use Vow of Enmity on Gazy McGaze face. But that's all he can do now because his action was healing the rogue. All right, Marwise.
Monk.
Well, rogue monk. Marwise, guess what it's time for?
I have to make another save?
Yep.
Start of your turn. It's the one that knocked me out.
Which is a constitution?
It's a constitution save. You do get to add 5.
23.
23. You make it. It does 0 damage to you.
I am amazed at making these constitution saves considering I have a 0 constitution bonus.
Well, right now it's a plus 5 constitution bonus, but...
Sidekick is rolling very well for you.
Even without the plus 5, yeah, your con saves have been high enough that this wouldn't have been an issue for you. All right. Start of the turn. Daldane.
Hey, what about
Marwise is...
Oh, wait. I skipped Marwise entirely. I just had you roll, and I thought, okay, so that was the attack. No, that was the save. You got your whole turn ahead of you.
All right, Sox. How you feeling? You feel like you need another heal spell, or...?
No. Punch things. Punch.
Okay. How many of the Dragonborn skeletons are within 5 feet of me?
All 3 of them.
All right. Then I'm going to unleash my cantrip here, Word of Radiance. So they all have to make a constitution save of 15. And if they fail that save, they take 15 damage each.
2 fails and a save. 15 damage, you said?
Yep, 15 on the fails.
If they succeed, do they take any?
The way it's worded, I think it's an all or nothing cantrip.
Okay. Well, right, that's still a considerable amount of damage. And you know what I forgot?
What?
Your Guardian of Faith. They started their turn in the Guardian of Faith space also. So let's retroactively have you roll for that damage.
Guardian of Faith isn't something I roll. They make another save.
That's right.
So this is a dexterity save of 15 and 10 on a failure. I mean, 10 on a success, 20 on a failure.
That's a 3. That's a 1. That's an 11.
Guardian of Faith also disappears as soon as it's done 60 damage, so I don't think it's going to...
Yeah, it only had 10 damage left before it popped.
Okay.
I will add that in then.
It did good.
That is the most damage I think you've done with Guardian of Faith this campaign. Usually it's been more of a deterrent.
Yeah, usually I use it to try to keep Marwise and the enemies on opposite sides, but these skeletons weren't having any of that.
Skeletons don't have a lot of sense of self-preservation. So they're like, oh, something chewy in the blender. I'm going to go towards the blender. Anything else you're
doing? Yep, my spiritual weapon gets to make another attack at the same one it attacked last turn.
Okie doke.
Makes a 19 on the attack roll.
That is definitely a hit.
And let's see how much damage does it do. Or 9 damage.
A strong wind could probably knock that one over.
And that's the end of my turn.
Okay. Duldane, begin with a constitution saving throw.
Do I get the plus 5?
Oh, you certainly do.
16.
You make it. Not by a whole lot, but it's enough.
Good. Are there other skeletons and corpses lying around and this guy animated some of them, or are these special skeleton servants?
That is a very good question. Give me a perception check.
23.
All right. There,
on a natural 20.
All right. There is a lot of this chamber that is shrouded with some type of magical darkness. Your ability to see in the dark is not breaking through it, unfortunately. But the area that is currently exposed and illuminated, you do see individual bones here and there. So it might be these are the three skeletons that are intact enough to attack, or it might be these are the only three it animated, or there's not enough of an area exposed to know for sure. But your assumption, based on the number of bones you see, is that if this thing is bringing things to unlife, then three might have been the maximum, or they're just like, you can't really animate a skeleton if it's just all femurs.
Okay.
So you have three skeletons, one bloodied, one very bloodied, one, he's still alive, kind of, sort of, and a creepy thing in the distance that no one's bothered to attack yet.
And we can't see how far back the chamber goes because of the magical darkness.
Correct.
How far is the creepy thing in the distance?
It is maybe within 20 feet of you.
Okay.
If only there was a wizard here to attack the darkness with magic missile. Someone had to say it. It might as well be the DM.
I'm willing to bet that whatever we're facing is a wizard or a sorcerer. Possibly a warlock. In any case, not a fight. So Bigby's grasping hand to try and grab it.
Bigby's hand!
What do I have to roll?
It's a grapple check against a hand with the strength of 26.
Well, go ahead and roll, but if you don't roll a nat 1, you're winning. Because that's what I rolled.
24.
Yeah, I think it's safe to say you have successfully grappled this thing.
Okay. And I'm going to take the bonus action to squish it for 2d6 plus 2.
Okie doke.
For 10 damage.
Okay. It is slightly thinner than it was before. Anything else you'd like to do?
No, that's my turn.
Okie doke. Sox, you are currently prone, and you need to make a constitution saving throw.
I put that dice in the dice shield. I've swapped out to a different dice. My friend James bought me this dice, so I get to murder him if it murders me. Don't scream me, James.
He cut himself off. I'm a little concerned.
Natural 1.
Oh my gosh. 2 nat 1s with 2 different d20s. Fennec Sr. pumped 30 points of Lay on Hands into you.
Yeah, well, I'm unconscious again.
And this is how you repay him.
I know, right? Oh my gosh, that's totally going to be one of the things I'm tweeting in an out of context D&D quote. Okay.
James screwed me.
All right, you are down again. All right, and it is their turn. All three skeletons are going to, at this point, attack Daldane. That's a 9. That's a 15. And that's a dirty 20.
Well, the last two will hit.
Okay. You are going to take 26 points of... I'm sorry. I'm reading the wrong thing again. You know what? Fine. 26 points of slashing damage. That's lower than it should have been.
Okay. Are we doing the... Have we switched to doing concentration spells can be broken on damage?
That's what we have done, so...
Okay. Yeah.
Come on, check.
I can never remember what that check is. It's just concentration.
So it's half of... It's a concentration check. It's, the DC is half of the damage you take, but you're supposed to do the... You're supposed to do it for every...
Okay.
So in this case, roll 13 or higher. That's higher than 13. What was the second roll for?
Because I did it for each attack.
Yeah, if all three attacked and it was...
Okay.
Because you're supposed to do it for every single...
I'd lumped the damage together, so I was saying you needed to roll higher than 13.
Gotcha.
But separately, those are well above what you needed to roll. So we're good.
Great.
Your concentration is still in effect. You are still lovingly holding this undead monstrosity that's still looking at you.
Well, it's not polite to stare.
Well, it's going to look back at you. And it is going to require you to make another constitution save.
24.
All right. You take 11 points of necrotic damage.
And a 16 beats a 6, so I'm fine.
Okay. All right. Next up is Fennec. He looks at these attacks, and he looks down at Sox, and he looks at the attackers, and he looks down at Sox, and he's having a really tough time making a decision here.
Just do an over under. See what he does. See what he decides. Just do an over.
Actually, I'm looking to see if he has the healing ability that is a bonus action, because that'd be really handy.
I'm just glad I'm now prepared for this campaign as well.
You know what? I know exactly what he's going to do. Remember, he used that bonus action. That gives him advantage on attacks against the thing he's used it on, and he gets an additional attack if he's within melee range of it. So he's going to assume that the other two people who are up and have healing spells that they are able to cast are going to take care of you, and he runs straight at this thing that is currently grasped in Bigby's hand. That means 3 attacks of opportunity against him. There is a very satisfying sound of rolling 3 metal d20s at the same time. I shouldn't enjoy it as much as I do. One of them hits. That is 17 points of damage. He laughs in the face of danger. And he also makes his save, well, not save, con check for the spell that he cast on Mawise to give her plus 2 AC. So that's good for that. And he is going to make 2 attacks against the thing in Bigby's hand. That is 1 hit. That is 2 hits. And looking at the weapon that he uses, I'm going to put all the damage together. Not bad. But I did forget to make him do a con save at the start of his turn.
Ah, no, he's dead.
Yeah, retcon it. He actually drops it. No. He failed his save, but not by 5 or more. So he is taking 16 points of psychic damage. He's bloody, but not bloodied. And that's Fenix's turn. Marwise, you're up. Constitution save.
Do I still get to add his bonus to my save?
Unfortunately, he has run out of range now.
Got a 10.
Well, you don't fail by 5. You so are going 7. To take 16 points of psychic damage.
Oof. Okay. I was hoping to use my less effective healing spell, because I can use it as a bonus action and still attack, but I think I'm going to bust out the big guns for this one. So, mass cure wounds on the entire party.
What's the range for that?
30. It says 60 feet / 30.
Okay. So either way, Fennec
Senior
would be
a 60-foot radius. Yeah, it's a 60-foot radius you can throw 30 feet away from you.
Okay.
I was just asking to know if Fennec Senior would be in the range of it.
So everyone in the party gets a heal for 21.
Sox, you're awake again.
Let's see how this goes again.
And since that took up my action, my spiritual weapon still gets to make its attack, though. Same skeleton. Do I get advantage for
armor class of 12?
Right, so
yes,
hits.
Thanks for bringing that up. We forgot about that. The name of this campaign is Pack Tactics, and there's 3 kobolds in a group. Yes, you get advantage. Go ahead and roll again to see if you get a nat 20. Well, it's not a nat 20, but it's still a hit either way. Go ahead and roll your damage.
And 10 damage on the same one it's attacked the last couple of turns.
How do you want to do this?
Do you have to ask? It's blunder time.
Okay. So this particular skeleton turns into a shower of bone shards. It almost looks like snow. You have no temptation to catch it on your tongue.
All right, and with one skeleton blendified, I think that's the end of my turn.
All right. Duldane, constitution saving throw.
Give me just a second.
I will do something this turn, I promise.
Other than die?
Other than die.
When I first looked at this creature's stats, I thought, wow, that's kind of weak. No, it's not. It is well balanced.
Yeah, especially if the monk rolls 2 natural ones to it.
It's CR by itself. You would have wiped the floor with it.
Whew. That's a 3 on the constitution save.
That is a fail by
over 5. On that.
You are reduced to 0 hit points. Okay, Sox.
No, that's not the way that works.
Okay. Swap to the Diablo dice this time.
By the end of the session, you will finish every d20 you have.
I'm sorry, talk right
after you, Ellie.
I just said the grasping hand goes away.
Oh. Yes, it does, unfortunately.
Okay, here we go.
Which is frustrating, because I was going to use my action to push it 15 feet further away from us so that we wouldn't be in the stupid zone of destiny.
You could have also tried having the hand of the grasping hand go underneath this thing's head and then flick upwards.
Yes, well.
Not as bad. Wasn't a natural 1, but it is a natural 5.
You're down.
With a con of +1.
You're down. If Fenix had still been next to you, you would have survived it.
Oh no.
Please don't let this be a campaign where the NPC saves the party. All right. Well, it's their turns. But I have fewer rolls to make. There are 2 skeletons. And they're both going to go after the last kobold standing. That is an 18 and a dirty 20.
So, with Fenix's shield spell in place, I'm at exactly 20.
Okay, so that's 1 hit. You are going to take 17 points of slashing damage.
Okay.
Still kicking?
Yep.
All right. And this creature turns its gaze towards, oddly enough, the Dragonborn Paladin that's giving him a beatdown.
My dice shield is getting full.
That is a save. So he takes half damage. Health goes up. Health goes down. Health goes up. But I'm going to rule that that counts as an attack. So that means Fennec Sr. gets an attack. Because he did the Vow of Enmity. That is a hit. That is 11 points of magical damage. And that's their turn. Start of Fenix's turn. He gets advantage on his two attacks against this thing.
Con save.
Oh, thank you for reminding me. He rolls a 1. No, I haven't rolled yet. That's a 16. Plus 5 takes it to 21. That's a very easy save. Actually, I'm not adding all of his bonuses because he has a good constitution modifier too, but whatever. First attack, that is going to be a hit. Second attack is also going to be a hit. His bonus to damage is enough to kill this thing. So I'm not even going to roll. So that creature's down. There's just two skeletons remaining. And Marwise, you don't have to make a constitution saving throw.
Oh, sweet. Okay. So, first thing I'm going to do is I'm going to use Channel Divinity, Preserve Life, which gives me 60 healing points. I can divide however I like. How well is Fennec doing? Is he?
He's fine.
Okay.
He's had paper cuts worse than this.
Then I'm giving 30 to Sox and 30 to Daldane.
Technically speaking, it was a paper elemental. It was a really weird situation. He doesn't like to talk about it. Okay.
I'm okay.
So your two closest companions, and I'm saying closest by distance, are at 30 hit points each. Is there anything else you'd like to do?
Well, that took up my main action, but I can still use my bonus action to move my spiritual weapon to the next most injured skeleton and make an attack roll with that.
That's a hit. An 18 hit, but go ahead and roll again. Still not a crit, but oh well.
And 11 damage on one skeleton.
Alrighty. It is bloodied.
And that's the end of my turn.
Okay, we go back up to Daldane. Daldane, you do not need to make a con save.
Excellent. Tragically, I'm all out of 5th level spells.
Does this mean no one's going to turn into a T-Rex?
No, that's 4th level.
The T-Rex would have to be crouching in this space.
Yeah, I figured. That's why it didn't happen earlier. I'm going to cast Vampiric Touch.
Okay. A 15 will hit.
That's a 15. And it does 3d6 necrotic damage.
Is this where I tell you they're immune to necrotic damage? It's not immune to necrotic damage.
Okay. So it takes 9 necrotic damage.
Okay.
And I get 4 of that back.
Anything else you'd like to do?
I'm going to give Sox Bardic Inspiration.
Okie doke. Sox?
My turn? Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, I'm up to actually punch things. Yay. So there's two in front of me, yeah?
Yes, one is bloodied, one's close to it.
Okay, I'm going to go for the close to bloodied one, and I'm going to go for 2 strikes with my dagger.
I will say that it feels weird to say that a skeleton is bloodied, but whatever. It's a game mechanic.
29 a hit on the first.
You just barely graze it.
17 for the second.
Yes, you still hit.
Okay, I need to remember to add sneak attack to that. 26 points of piercing.
Okay, well, you've done a decent amount of damage. I will call it a draw.
And I'm going to spend a key point to do Flurry of Blows for 2 unarmed. And 18 for the first, and 24 for the second. Ooh, yay!
Your bonuses to damage do not require you to roll damage at this point. How do you want to do this?
So stab, stab, punch, back up, Superman punch.
Okay. It is not blended. There are identifiable bones remaining, but it's gone all to pieces.
Yeah.
Okay. And it's all over but the shouting, really, but this last skeleton doesn't know how to stop, so it is going to take one more swing at Marwise, and it raises its hand up, and they've been attacking with claws. They've been doing slashing damage with the pointy tips of their fingertips. It raises its hand up, and it pauses, and it looks at Marwise, and it kneels down in front of Marwise. Or at least it looks like it is kneeling down, but it just continues the motion and collapses into a pile of bones. And this cloak that it was wearing Most of his clothing was all rotted, but the cloak is still intact. Just sort of settles down over top of the body. In the distance, you hear the Final Fantasy Victory music.
That was too much.
Does the cloak of the one who just gave up look like the clothes I was wearing in the dream I had when I was walking back?
I would say give me a history check.
18. Oh,
yeah. Yeah, it resembles that. The clothing is too rotted away to really identify it, but the cloak looks the same, and it does have a bag attached to its belt still. That seems to be intact.
I'm going to examine the bag.
It's bigger on the inside.
Nice.
It's mostly books.
Oh, this is Christmas for Marwise.
I know, right?
So, there's a big look of glee in her eyes when she realizes it's full of books. But
make a constitution saving throw. The creature comes back. No. You are not able to withhold a squee of joy.
So, yeah, she squeezed.
Okay, we have been recording for over an hour. You want to take five?
Yes.
Okay, sure. I'm going to press some buttons, and we'll be right back. We're back. I think we're back. I'm pretty sure
I'm stressed.
Just a little bit. Hey, you lived. Mostly. Kind of, sort of. So,
only died a couple of times.
Technically rendered unconscious, which is the good news, because you still would have had three failed death saves before you were actually dead. Now, the bad news is that particular creature, there's no coming back from being killed by it. If you were actually dead, your soul is destroyed.
Yeah, that's the thing. So if I wasn't healed every time before my turn, there would have been a natural one for a death save, which is two failed saves, and a five, the third save, death save.
Those rolls don't count. They weren't needed. At this point, it's just a matter of effort to get back out of the hole, but you are able to do that. One of you, because you can just click your heels together and fly straight up, and the rest of it's just a matter of like finding a rope. I think Gox had been tying a rope to a tree earlier. So you were able to lower a rope down. And Fennec Sr., does he make it up on the first try? Yes. Yes, Fennec Sr. does make it up on the first try. I rolled for him just to see. Okay. So you're all able to get up out of the hole. One of you is heavier by a fancy looking cloak and a bag of holding. And Fennec Sr. is very interested in the contents of said bag of holding.
All right, so yeah.
Okay. He sticks his hand in and he pulls out a live rattlesnake. No. It turns out the bag of holding is actually a mimic. No, I'm not going to do that to you. Although, I had this idea that I may just put in the Wednesday campaign that I run, where they go up against an opponent that turns out to be two mimics in a trench coat. The trench coat will also be a mimic.
Still waiting for the kobolds.
So, the first book that Fennec Sr. pulls out appears to be a diary. It is the diary of Dar Generalis, D-A-A-R, by the way, because I know someone in this party likes to take detailed notes of everyone and everyone. Not mentioning who. Thank you, Ellie. Yes, clearly the trench coat has to be a cloaker. I should do that. I should totally do that. Does Daldane already have inspiration?
No.
She does now.
Thank you.
You are quite welcome. It is well deserved. You are facilitating me giving pain and misery to my weekday D&D campaign. And I appreciate that. Well, I'm a middle school teacher and I'm a DM. So, you know, that's two reasons to be cruel to them. All right. So a lot of it is, well, I'm not going to go over everything. Fennec Sr. does not open up the diary and start reading from day one. He scans through and flips to random pages. I'm going to roll for something. Okay. He skips to the end and reads it, and he does not read it out loud. And then he closes the book, and he hands it back to you, Marwise.
All right, I'm going to take a look at, well, try to take a look at the same passage he was.
The last passage is about Dar making his way home.
All right.
It's just further confirmation. But with that said, Fennec Sr. says, I would like this back, but you should probably read it.
Okay. If we're all heading back to the house, that's first thing I'm probably going to do is start reading that book then.
Okay. Fennec Sr. does not go back into the house. He goes to a tool shed and gets some stuff, and he says something about bringing the remains back up to the surface. He does have to get a mop and a broom.
Zox offers to assess by flying down, picking them up, and bringing them.
Okay. There were more than three skeletons worth of bones, but most of them were too badly damaged to be animated. You notice that there are several sets of bones that appear to be that of small children.
Dark.
Yeah. None of them look like they're recent at all. Like, there was no meat left on the bones. They'd been there for centuries. Daldane, what do you do?
I'm going to help with the effort to bring the remains up to the surface.
Okay. Then you notice the same things that Sock notices. Marwise, what do you do?
Yeah, I'm going to help out with the remains and the burial.
Okay. As luck would have it, a paladin and a cleric are kind... It's in their wheelhouse, rather, to deal with remains and how to treat them and consecrate them and stuff. So you don't prepare their final resting place per se, but you do your best to organize them and treat them with respect now that they're not actively trying to kill you. That it does make it a lot easier, them not actively trying to kill you.
Yeah, kind of a deal breaker when it comes to funeral work.
Yeah. Would you just stay in the grave? I mean, no, he's climbing back out again. Seriously? All right, so that gets sorted. I'm not going to RP that experience. Roll for last rites. No, don't roll for last rites. What do you do next?
Well, Marwise is probably going to prioritize reading through the diary so that she can return it to Fennec as soon as she's done.
Okay. Give me... Sorry?
You cut off.
I thought I heard Chris say something shortly.
I was going to say Sox is going to go have an hour nap.
Not a bad idea.
Yeah.
I mean, you did take a couple dirt naps already.
Yeah.
But it's like when you nod off and then you wake back up again, it's like you just feel worse. All right. So
don't Sox forget you have to get your familiar again, too.
Yep.
Okay. So you go back inside, and you walk past Gox, and Gox is just standing there. What does everyone else do?
I'm going to take a short rest, and then I'm going to go back down and investigate the area that the creepy spellcaster was in.
Okay. Give me an investigation check.
27.
All right. 16 plus 11. You're pretty good with investigation, plus 11. Every now and then, yeah. I forget your high-level characters. All right. So there's a lot of this cave that's difficult to see because of the magical darkness. Do you have the light cantrip or no?
No, I don't.
Okay. So once you go into the areas that are pitch black, it's much harder to investigate. But with a 27, there's still a lot you can figure out. There's parts of this cavern that don't extend much further than the light that's coming down from the hole in the ceiling, more or less. There's some spots that go a bit deeper that sort of go towards and or away from the generalis main structure. Okay. If you move away from it, there's a spot where there appears to have been a cave-in that sealed it off. So the way you came in was not the original method of entrance. Let's put it that way.
I would imagine not.
No, but there's not much more in there that you can see. You would need someone to be able to get rid of the magical darkness to know for sure.
Okay. Can I This is an odd question, but can I find out by measuring roughly where the magical darkness is, like where the center of the magical darkness is?
It's not so much the center of the magical darkness. The center is, like, there's an area that is directly below the hole that was dug. And then for 30 feet in each direction from that, there's light of some level. At the 30-foot mark, it's darkness.
Okay.
And when you walk around feeling the walls going all the way around, all the rest of the space is in darkness except for that 30-foot radius with basically an axle of light coming down from the hole.
Huh. But it is magical darkness.
It is magical.
It is magical.
You know it's magical because you, a kobold, cannot see in it.
Okay. That's, yeah, okay.
Yeah, that's something I'm requiring a roll for. I love that you picked up on asking about that. There's reason. There's a method to my madness. Just watch out for hawks and handsaws. All right. Thank you. I'm here all week. Marwise.
Mm-hmm.
While this is going on, you are reading the book. And it's a book. And it's about history. So you are enthralled instantly. What makes it more interesting is, now, everything you've been told so far and everything that you encountered in that dream from the previous night told you that Dar Generalis is not only the person who brought the Generalis family into prominence originally, was successful enough as a scribe and librarian to be able to purchase the land that the Generalis estate is on and thus establish the family name. Not only was all this going on, which was cool in its own right, but they weren't 100% a devout follower of Bahamut. Yeah, which is a bit weird. I mean, as you scan through the entries, there's a lot of them where he has a lot of questioning thoughts. He doesn't really think poorly of Bahamut. Far from it, in fact. Service to Bahamut paid for pretty much everything for him. But Bahamut was more a deity of justice and protection, which are good traits. But he was more of a dragonborn that wanted to do a quest for knowledge and seeking out information and archiving it and collecting it. And the way he was raised, the way that worship of Bahamut was at the time period where he was alive, and actually, you are aware of this because of your dealings with Fennec Sr., up until roughly 10, 15 years ago, the whole thing about worship of Bahamut on this particular world was stay insular, keep to yourselves, protect your own, but don't go out and evangelize, and don't go out to the rest of the world. And that's not something you do if you want to go out and collect knowledge. So the more you read this, the more it really feels like he would have appreciated conversations with you.
Yeah, two of us seem to have a lot in common, starting to see why I'm the one that got his memories.
It's quite possible. Okay, and Chris just went AFK because I was going to have him do something. Of course he did. Never mind about that. At this point, I am going to have you roll an insight check. You and Daldane. Sox is taking an hour-long nap anyway.
I got a rock.
Yes, a 5 is a rock. And we got a 14 from Marwise. Unfortunately, that's not high enough for me to give you additional plot points. Darn. Marwise, I will also say that in the readings you've discovered that the cloak that you gathered happens to be a cloak of the manta ray, which is particularly useful. I will link that in chat.
Nice.
Yes, very nice. So you have a bag of holding full of books and a cloak of the manta ray, and Daldane got a rock.
And Sox was broken.
Yeah, Sox, when you wake up from your nap, give me an insight check.
Oh, God, okay. Natural 20!
Where's Gox?
Oh, no. I go find my brother.
So, remember when you found Zeely?
Yes.
Replace Zeely with Gox.
Yeah.
Same spot on the stairwell. Same pose.
I have no idea where anyone currently is.
Well, yeah, you just woke up. You're still wiping the sleep from your eyes.
I'm going to try and find someone to help.
Okay. Daldane, where are you?
I imagine I'm either still down in the hole or coming back up out of.
Okay. I'm going to take a wild guess and say Marwise is in the library.
Yes.
If I had to define each character by one thing, Gox would be beheadings, Zeti would be fire, Marwise would be books.
You've messed two players.
Yeah, but you don't have one thing that defines you as much. It's more of a variety of things. So it's hard for me to pick one thing for socks without just being really mean and saying natural ones. I'm not going to do that to you.
Wow.
I said I'm not going to do that to you.
Wow.
For Daldane, I'd probably say T-Rexes.
It's true.
Yeah. Okay, so hey, I'm going to say, based on proximity...
Creepy not dogs for a while.
Yeah, it was creepy not dogs for a while. Or worse dogs. They were called worse dogs.
Worse dogs, that's right.
Yes. So, based on proximity, you are more likely going to find Marwise first.
Okay. Marwise, problem.
Okay, how can I help?
You remember when Zeely was possessed?
Oh, no.
It's Gox.
All right.
Follow me.
Let's go take a look.
Later to Gox.
Okay.
If I wave my hand in front of Gox, does he respond?
Give me a religion check. Seven.
I rolled a two. There's not much you can do with the two.
Yeah. This is getting to be a trend, though. The things where we don't expect Marwise to excel, like con saves, you're like, well, I didn't even need those bonuses. I'll just swim through the poison. I'm fine. And for things like, well, you're a cleric of light. You should be able to get this down. Like, I rolled a two. You are the... I don't want to say you're an anti-cleric, but it's quite possible that if you became the head of your order, you would be the anti-pope. just possibly. But don't stand next to don't stand next to the pope, because then we'd have cold fusion. That wouldn't end well. Just like that joke. All right. So, yeah, you wave your hand in front of Gox's face, and Gox turns and looks at you and blinks.
You doing okay there, buddy?
You're not him. You're not him. Are you Dar?
Dar is at peace.
He didn't come home.
He got very close.
How close?
The orchard.
Where is he? I don't see him. And this view that you have from this particular part of the stairwell, you can see the entire orchard laid out ahead of you.
All right. I'm not entirely convinced this is a good idea, but I'm going to take Gox's hand and say, follow me. I'll show him to you.
I think most campaigns, if you gave them a theme, would be, I'm not entirely sure this is a good idea. So let's roll with that. Okay. So you take Gox out to the orchard?
I take him to where we last put and prepared the remains.
Okay. The remains are actually not in the orchard area. They were brought into the drawing room. That was the room with the most protection from the elements and the largest space to try to lay them out and organize them as much as possible.
All right.
So you take Gox down to the drawing room. And I'm not going to make you roll for this. I will say that you are aware of which bones happen to be the ones that you got the cloak and the bag of holding off of through some characteristics that you recognized or whatever. And Gox stops when you pull him into the room by his hand. Is he here?
Yeah. Yes, he is. I walk up to the one that's Dar and say, this is him.
I don't see him. Oh, Ellie, don't you dare. Ellie in chat, I cast Dance Macabre as soon as they enter the room. That would get you kicked out. Fenix would summarily kick you out the front door and down the stairs and continue kicking you until you were out of town. He would not put up with that. These are his ancestors.
Oh, that was dark. Glory.
That's darker than a lot of the things that I've done, and I'm the DM. It's my job to visit horrible things upon the players that we like, and yet that's darker. Okay, give me an inside check. A 13. Okay, you don't know exactly what it is. A higher roll would have made me able to give you more information. But body and soul are two different things. And Dar reached his end in a very dark place, literally and figuratively. Something more might be needed for his soul and the soul of whoever is inhabiting Gox right now to be a bit more at peace.
Can I make a religion check for any ideas of what that something may be?
I will allow it. Hey, an 18. What destroyed Dar was necrotic in nature. Perhaps something that's the opposite of that.
So I should go to the hole we found and try to purify it somehow?
I mean, that's something you could try.
Let's see. How do I purify a place?
There are spells that can be used for that effect. I don't think you have any of them currently prepared.
I'm going to seek out Fenix. I think I need his help on this.
Okay. What do you ask him?
I think we need to do something about the dark place where we found Dar's remains in order to let his spirit rest in peace.
I might have something I can do. Would you assist me?
Absolutely.
Okay. So the spell that he's going to cast is a first level spell. It's ceremony. And he's going to use basically the version of it that is kind of like a funeral rite or dedication. It's a combination of the two. So he's casting it more than once, actually. The casting time for a ceremony is 1 hour. And this is something where having the two of you do this in concert is going to help out a little bit more. Give me a religion check with advantage. Because I'm not going to roll for him. It's more fun to see players roll. An 11. And a 14. Okay. When the ceremony is finished, Gox comes back to his senses, but you don't notice anything else. However, Gox is back. Did we win?
Sure.
I think so.
I like to end things on a dramatic note, but I don't
dun, dun, dun. Have that.
And that's when the entire house collapses.
Burn it to the ground.
The red dragon shows up, and it releases the kraken. And the house turns into a mimic.
Don't forget the terrace riding a blimp.
Oh, yeah. They are all the preface to the Tarrasque blimping in. Yes, exactly. All right. Well, that is all we unfortunately have time for today. Come in, join us next week. Bye. Same bat time, same bat channel. I have been Crash. Thank you, everyone who listened in. I've been joined by a bunch of awesome people. We had Cindy, who may or may not be opening a new blender manufacturing company. Ellie, who runs Elic.xyz, an awesome social network on which all of us have accounts. And Chris, who has more subscribers on Twitch than I do by a very large number, and also more emotes, all of which are on fire.
I'm sorry.
No, you're not. You're not sorry.
No, I'm not.
Is there anything, else to plug?
I am also contractually obliged to mention that EO's mom, one of our regular players, writes books at elizabeth-mccoy.com.
And I am also contractually obliged to point out that I do a podcast, because Kevin will kill me if I don't. It's called Azeroth Coast to Coast. We talk about Blizzard games and all that fun stuff. You can find us at azerothctc.com.
And we should plug bookofjen.net too.
Yeah, we should. Okay. And our Queen of Haiku Twitch as well.
Indeed. Which is actually hosting this stream right now. So that's cool.
Yay, Queen of Haiku.
Yes. Now, you said Kevin would kill you?
Yes.
Is he one of the people who gave you dice that rolled ones today?
No.
Okay. Then yes, we should be concerned. All right. Well, until next time, everyone. Have fun. There will not be any stream from this channel tonight because we're playing Mutants and Masterminds. But we're wrapping that up tonight, is what I've been told. So next week, we'll have two streams in one day.
Yay!
Yes.
I want to get to the dramatic conclusion of what we're currently doing.
I can't wait to get to the dramatic opening for that because something is going to happen almost immediately for that session. I have something planned out, and it's going to be fun.
Okay, nice.
All right. I'm going to press buttons. Thank you all for listening. See you next time.